Srila Bhakti Rakak Srida Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Rupanuga Guru Bhagya ki jai. Haridas Thakur ki jai. Jai Harinama Sankirtan ki jai. Anita Gaura Premanandi. Here we are, our fourth Bhagavad Gita study group. And today we'll be looking at chapter 3, which is called Karma Yoga. So I'll chant first, and then together we'll chant each verse, okay? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Arjuna Uvacha Jayasi Chet Kamanaste Mata Buddhir Janardana Tatkim Karmani Gore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava. Arjuna Uvacha Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mat Buddhir Janardana Tatkim Karmani Gore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava. Arjun said, O Janardan, O Keshav, if you consider wisdom superior to action, why then do you urge me to engage in the violence of warfare? Vyamishran rineva vakyena buddhim mohaya shivame tad ekam vada nischitya yena shreyoham apnuyam. Vyamishran vakyena buddhim mohaya shivame tadekam vada nischitya yena shreyoham apnuyam. I am confused by your words. They appear to be ambiguous, sometimes supporting action and sometimes supporting wisdom. So please tell me which is the most beneficial path for me to take. Sri Bhagavan uvacha lokesmin dvividha nista pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. Sri Bhagavan uvacha lokesmin dvividha nista pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. The Supreme Lord replied, O sinless one, I have described the two paths to be found in this world, the yoga of wisdom practiced by the realized, and the yoga of selfless action practiced by those active in the world. Both paths touch the beginnings of devotional practice, since the ladder to the plane of devotion is one, while the practice is twofold, according to the stage attained. Na karmanam manarambam Naishkarmyam purushoshnute Nacha sanyasana deva Siddhim samadigachati Na karmanam anarambam Naishkarmyam purushoshnute Nacha sanyasana deva Siddhim samadigachati. One cannot attain freedom from action by refraining from action, nor can one attain fulfillment by renunciation alone. Nahi kaschid kanamapi jata tishtati akarmakrit kayate yavasha karma sava prakriti jargunahai. Nahi kaschid kanamapi jata tishtati akarmakrit kayate yavasha karma sava prakriti jargunahai. No one can refrain from activity for even a moment. Everyone is impelled to act by the modes of material nature. Thus, the person of impure consciousness should not disregard scripturally prescribed purificatory works. Karmanendriyani, karmanendriyani samyamvaya ya ashte manasasmaram indriyartan vimudhatma mityacharya sayuchate karmendriyani samyaya yayaste manaso smaram indriyatan vimudatma mityacharya sayuchate. One who externally restrains his hands, legs, and other senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense object, is a fool. Know him to be a hypocrite. Yastveva indriyani manasa niyamyar bahate arjuna karmanindriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyate. Yastvindriyani manasa niyamyar bahate arjuna karmanindriyai karma yogam asakta savishishyate. O Arjuna, superior is one who, though married, has stabilized his senses by the mind and engaged in the yoga of selfless action. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma yajyo hi akarmana sharira jatrapi chate na prasidyed akarmana. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma yajyo hi akarmana Shadirat yatra pichatena prasidyata karmana. Perform your prescribed duties, since to be active is better than idleness. Inactive persons cannot even maintain their existence. By giving up fruitive action and performing your obligatory duties, your heart will be purified. Surpassing the plane of renunciation, you will attain pure devotion, transcendental to the mundane plane. Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kunteya muktasanga samachara. Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kunteya muktasanga samachara. Selfless duty performed as an offering to the Supreme Lord is called yagya or sacrifice. O Arjuna, all action performed for any other purpose is the cause of bondage in this world of repeated birth and death. Therefore, remaining unattached to the fruits of action, perform all your duties in the spirit of such sacrifice. Such selfless action is the way to begin devotional practice. Gradually realize the presence of the Lord and ultimately attain pure devotion, transcendental to the modes of material nature. Nirguna Bhakti. Saha yagya praja srishtva puruvacha prajapati anena prasa vishadvam eshavo stva ishtaka maduk svayagya praja srishtva puruvacha prajapati anena prasa vishidvamne eshavo svaishta kamadu. In the beginning, Lord Brahma manifested the progeny of the world along with sacrifices. He instructed them thus: take shelter of this religious principle of sacrifice, prosper and flourish. May such sacrifice be the bestower of the things you desire. Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuva param bhavayanta shreya param avapsyata. Devam bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuva parasparam bhavayanta shreya param avapsyata. Propitiate the gods by sacrifices, and may they satisfy you, bestowing your desired fruits. In this way, through mutual nourishment, you will be the gainers of great auspiciousness. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yagyabhavita te datan apradayayo yo bhungte stena eva saha. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yagyabhavita Tairdatan apradayivyo yobungte stena eva saha. Propitiated by sacrifices, the gods, my worldly representatives, will bestow upon you all your desired enjoyable things. But one who enjoys what is given by the gods without offering it to them is a thief. Yagya shista shina shanto muchante sarva kilbishai bunjate titva agham papa ye pachanjatma karanat yagya shista nimlantanto muchante sarva kilbishai bunjate titva agham papa ye pachanjatma karanat. By accepting sacrificial remnants of the universal gods, virtuous persons are liberated from all sins, arising from violence towards other living entities. But those who prepare food for their own pleasure partake only of sin. The remnants referred to here are not the same as the Krishna Prasad, the food that has been offered to the Supreme Lord by his devotees. Anadbhavanti bhutani parjanyad anusambhava Yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma sumud bhava anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anusambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma sumud bhava. The living beings' bodies are manifest from food. Food is manifest due to rain. Rainfall ensues from the performance of sacrifice. An action is the cause of sacrifice. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakara samudbhavam tasmad sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakara samudbhavam tasmad sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye pratishtitam. Action is prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas originate in Akara, the imperishable. Therefore, the all-pervading, imperishable Lord is ever-present within the acts of sacrifice offered to him. Evam pravartitam chakram nanu varchartita jaha aghayor indriya ramo mogam parta sajivati. Evam pravartitam chakram nanu varchartita shaha agayor indriyaramo mogam parta sajivati. O Arjun, one who does not respect this natural causal cycle leads a life of sin, enjoying the senses in vain. Yasteva atmaratir eva syadatma triptascha manava Atmyaneva cha santushtas tasyas karyam na vidyate yastatma atayeva syad atma triptas cha manava atmanyeva cha santushtas tasya karyam na vidyate. Yet there is no duty to fulfill for the realized person who delights within the self. Being fully satisfied within, his only worldly action or karma is as required for his sustenance. Naiva tasya kritain arto na kritainha kaschana na chasya sarvabhuteshu kaschidarta vyapashraya naiva tasya kritain arto na kritainha kaschana na chasya sarvabhuteshu kaschidarta vyapashraya. In the world, he neither gains by action nor loses by inaction. He does not depend on any other being, from Lord Brahma down to the simplest life form, for any purpose. Tasmad ashaktas satatam karjam karma samachara ashakto hi acharan karma param apnoti purusha. Tasmad ashaktas satatam karyam karma samachara ashakto hi acharan karma param apnoti purusha. So perform your prescribed duties without attachment. By selflessly executing one's duties, a person attains liberation. True liberation is the state of pure devotion attained in the maturity of selfless action. Karma naiva hi samsidhim astita janakadaya loka sangraham evapi sampasyam kartam arhase karmanay astita janakadaya loka sangraham evapi sampasyam kartam arhase. King Janak and other learned personalities succeeded in attaining devotion through the execution of their prescribed duties. So it is fitting that you fulfill your duty in consideration of the welfare of the people. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat evetaro jana sayat param pramananam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat evetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. The masses follow the way of great men, following the standards they set. Name pratastikart tavyam trishulokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakarmani. Name pratastikart tavyam trishulokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakarmani. O Arjun, I have no duty in the three worlds. I lack nothing, and there is nothing to be attained by me, and yet I myself am active. Yadi hyaham navarteyam jaktu karmanyatan atandrita mamma vart manuvartante manusya partasarvasa. Yadi hyaham vartante jatu karmanyatandrita mama vart manu vartante manusya parta sarvasaha. O Arjun, if ever I do not engage attentively in duties, then all men following my example will give up their duties. Utside urime loka nakurjam karmachet aham sankarsha cha karta sham upahanyam ima praja. Utside yorime loka nakurjam karmached aham sankarsya cha kartasyam upahanyam ima praja. If I do not engage in duty, the people of these worlds will renounce their duties and fall to ruination. Thus I will be responsible for their downfall caused by adulterated progeny. Shakta karmani avivamso jata korvanti barata kurjad vidvams tata shakta chikishchur loka sangraham. Shakta karmani vidvamso jata korvanti barata kurjad vidvams tata shakta chikishchur loka sangraham. O Arjun, as ignorant persons work with attachment, the wise too must work, but without attachment, in order to guide the general people who exist in the plane of worldly action. They differ not in their work, but in their attitudes of attachment and detachment. Na buddhi bedham jnaneyad agyanam karma sanginam yojadyat sarva karmani vidvan yukta samacharam. Na buddhi vedamayadhyad agyanam karma sanginam yojayat sarva karmani vidvan yukta samacharam. The scripturally learned teacher should not create confusion in the minds of the ignorant. Attached men, by apparently advocating of, in the minds of ignorant attached men, by apparently advocating the neglect of duty for the cultivation of knowledge. Rather, he should set the example of selflessness in fulfilling duties, thus encouraging the ignorant in the performance of their prescribed duties. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankar vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankar vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. All actions in the world are in every respect affected by the modes of material nature which impel the senses. But a man deluded by bodily identification thinks, I alone am accomplishing this work. Tattva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibha yoga vibha gayo guna gune shavartanta iti matva nasajate tattva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibha gayo guna gune shavartanta iti matva nasajate. However, O mighty-armed Arjuna, one who is in knowledge of the division of the modes of material nature and action, knows that the modes are engaging within the modes, and he is detached from them. One who knows that the three modes activated by the demigods impel the engagement of the senses with their objects, knows himself to be independent of these elements. Therefore, he does not consider himself a doer. Prakrite guna sammudha sajjante guna karmasu tan akrishna vido madhan krishna vinna vichalayet. Prakrite guna sammudha sajjate guna karmasu tan akrishna vido madhan krishna vinna vichalayet. Persons bewildered by the modes of nature are absorbed in the functions of the modes, the engagement of the senses with their objects. Enlightened persons should not agitate such ignorant, unfortunate persons by trying to convince them of higher philosophical truths. Rather, they should advise the conditioned souls to practice selfless action, which liberates them from absorption in the modes. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya yatma-cetasa nirasir-nirmano-buddha yudyasva-vigata-jvara. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya yatma-cetasa nirasir-nirmano-buddha yudyasva-vigata-jvara. Surrender all your activities to me with this understanding. All my actions are under the control of the indwelling Lord. In such consciousness, free from possessiveness and anguish, take recourse to battle as your natural duty. Ye me matam idam nityam anutistanti manava shraddhavanto nasuryanto muchyante te pikarmabhi. Ye me matam idam nityam anutistanti manava shraddhavanto nasuryanto muchyante te pikarmabhi. Faithful, unbegrudging men who always practice my teaching, this yoga of selfless action, are liberated from bondage of action, even though they engage in action. Yatve ited abhayashyanto nanutistanti me matam sarvajnana vimudhangstan vidhinastan achetasa yetvete anupasyusyanto nanutistanti me matam sarvajnana vimudhangstan vidhinastan achetasa. But the arrogant who resent my teachings are bereft of all knowledge, know them to be lost in ignorance. Sadrisham chestate svasya prakrite gyanavam api prakritim yanti bhutani nigrahakim kirishyati. Sadrisham chestate svasya prakrite gyanavam api prakritim yanti bhutani nigrahakim karishyati. For even a knowledgeable person tends to act according to his nature or mundane inclinations. The living beings' endeavors are dictated by their natures. What then can repression accomplish? Indriya sendriya shyarte raga dvesho vyavishtito teyo navasam agachcheto hi asya paripantino. Indriya sendriya shyarte raga dvesho vyavishtito
te ayona vasamagachet, tohi asya paripantano.
Although the senses are attracted to and repelled by the sense objects, one must not be controlled by these urges, for they are the greatest enemy of the candidate for self-realization. Shreyan swadharma vighunna paradharmat swanustitat swadharme nidanam shreyo paradharmo bhayavaha.
Shreyan swadharma vighunna paradharmat swanustitat swadharme nidanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha.
Even if it is imperfect, it is better to do one's duty according to one's own nature than to do another's well. Even death in the discharge of one's own duty is better for to perform another's is dangerous. Srila Guru Maharaj's commentary. The eternal, super-excellent natural function, dharma of the soul, is pure devotion to Udhoksaja, the transcendental Lord. Therefore, even if this function is somewhat imperfectly attempted by one with external malpractices, such an attempt will be superior to the good practices within the material modes of nature and worldly chain of actions and habits foreign to the soul's nature. Even if death occurs during the cultivation of such pure devotion in proper saintly association, it is the bestower of the ultimate good. But in the name of good practices, to ignorantly follow another's path, anything other than devotion to the Lord, dvitiya binivesha, is bhayava, endangering to the spiritual progress of the soul. Bhayam dvitiya binivesha shad, ishad apaktasya viparayo smriti, tanmayo yato buddha abhajetam, Bhaktya tak kashem guru deva tatma. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. A person of fine intelligence will serve with single-minded devotion his Lord, who is his teacher and dearmost friend. But those who have turned away from the Lord adopt the illusory ego of considering the perishable body to be the self, forgetting their true identities. Their consciousness absorbed in secondary pursuits, mundane objectives, they are always fearful on account of the body and its attachments. Okay, next verse.
Arjuna uvacha atakena prayuktoyam papancharati purusha anicham apibarsneya baladiva niyojita. Arjuna uvacha atakena prayuktoyam papancharati purusha anicham api vachneya baladiva niyojita.
Arjuna inquired, O descendant of the Vrishnis, by what is the living being compelled to commit sinful activities, even unwillingly, as if by force?
Sri Bhagavan uvacha, karma esha krodha esha rajaguna samudbhuva mahasano mahapapma vidyenam iha varinam.
Sri Bhagavan uvacha, kama esha krodha esha rajaguna sumudbhava mahasano mahapapma vidyenam iha varinam.
The Supreme Lord replied, it is the desire to enjoy the mundane that induces a person to commit sin, and in different situations it produces anger. It is utterly unsatiable, extremely malicious, and the worst enemy of the living being in this world.
Dumena vriyate vainir jata darsho malena cha jato benavrito garbas tatatenadyamavritam. Dumena vriyate vainir jata darsho malena cha yato bena brito garbas tata tena damavritam.
As fire is thickly veiled by smoke, as a mirror is thickly covered with dust, and as the embryo remains completely enclosed within the womb, Similarly, this desire covers the consciousness of the living being in these three degrees of intensity, according to the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, respectively. Avritam jnanam, jnanam etena jnanino nityabharinya kama rupena kunteya dusparena lalena cha. Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nityabharinya kama rupena kunteya dusparena lalena cha. Knowledge is covered by desire, the constant enemy of the wise. It burns like an insatiable fire, never satisfied by offerings of butter. Indriyani mano buddhir ashadistanam uchate etervimohatyatesha gyanam avritya dehinam. Indriyano mano buddhir ashadistanam uchate ite vimohaya yatisa jnanam avritam dehinam. It is said that this enemy, desire, dwelling within the senses, mind and intelligence, covers the perception of the embodied living being and deludes him. Tasmad tvam indriyanadho niyamya paratashabha papmanam prajahiyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. Tasmatvam indriyani yodo niyamyam varatashaba papmanam prajayenam jnana vijnana nasanam. Therefore, O noblest of the Bharatas, control your senses and destroy this desire, the embodiment of sin, which destroys both knowledge and realization. Indriyani pranyohor indriyabhyo paramanaha manasastu para buddhir buddheya paratastu shaha. Indriyani pranyohor indriyabhyo paramana manasastu para buddhir buddheya paratastu shaha. It is said by the wise that the senses are superior to matter. The mind is superior to the senses, and the intelligence is superior to the mind, and the soul is superior to even the intelligence. Evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatman anatmana jahi satrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanam atmana jai satram mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. O mighty Arjun, knowing the soul to be superior to the intelligence, steady the mind with resolute intelligence and destroy the formidable enemy, desire. Iti Sri Mahabharate Satasahasrayam Samhittayam Vaishashikam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidya Yogam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Karma Yoga Namo Tritiyo Jayaha. End of chapter 3. The Path of Action. From the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge, in the Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the Holy Scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. So, here Krishna is explaining Karma Yoga, or the path of action. When people hear the word karma, they have a particular idea, right, about what is karma, bad karma. Good karma, bad karma. But actually, karma just means action, activity. So, and there are three types of karma. There is akarma, vikarma, and sukarma. a good action, sukarma, vikarma, and akarma. Akarma means refraining from action, and vikarma means bad action, doing sinful activity. So, these type of action. And Krishna is explaining that actually, in answer to Arjuna's question, that the living being is always impelled to be active. He says that he himself, although he has nothing to do in this world, he's always performing his duty while in the world to show the example to others. So Krishna explains to Arjuna that for one who has mastery over his mind and senses, there is no activity necessary for him in this world. But for those of us who have not reached that stage, then Krishna is advising that we perform all of our activities according to our nature, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So everything we do, we should do as an offering unto the Lord. And it is not the activity itself which is so important, but as much as the consciousness with which you do that activity. So Prabhupada has said in one of his purports, it is better to be an honest sweeper of the street than to be a charlatan meditator. Or maybe he says show bottle meditator, I think is what he says. Or maybe charlatan. But he often used that expression, show bottle. And it's an old English expression, but it means, you know, to make a big show of being very spiritual and renounced, but behind that, hiding one's real nature. So that's a kind of hypocrisy. And Krishna explains that who refrains from action, but their mind is always dwelling on the objects of the senses. Actually, they're hypocrites. So, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this relation, he's remarked that as much as one is attached to the objects of this world, he says he must worship matter. It doesn't mean that Bhaktivinoda is prescribing that we worship the material nature, but he's saying that just naturally you will worship those things that you're attached to, that you're attracted to, if you have no self-control. But the main delusion that people, or illusion that people live under, is the idea that they are the doer. So Krishna explains to Arjuna that the modes of nature, rajas, tamas, and sattva, that they are actually making everything happen, and they are controlled by the devatas, and everything is happening according to these three modes of nature, and they are impelling the living beings to act. But those who are deluded by the false identification with the body and their mind, they consider that they are the doer, that whatever is happening is a result of their work. But this is actually an illusion. So so Krishna says to Arjuna, you should act, but do your action, whatever activity it is, selflessly. So that's called nishkama karma yoga. To act, to do whatever you do for the sake of the Lord, but without any desire for to enjoy the fruits of that. And that is quite a high state of consciousness. But we should aspire to that. We should try to engage in our activities with that goal in mind, to the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. that should not be hypocritical or false. Rather, you know, that we will say
oh, it is for the satisfaction of the Lord, but really it's for our own self. But we know that, you know, that should be our modus operandi, if you like, should be we do everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. But, and therefore we profess that, but in our heart of hearts we are desiring the fruits of those activities, and at the same time desiring to be recognized as a surrendered devotee of the Lord. This kind of hypocrisy, Krishna will not tolerate that, actually. And my mother used to say, be sure your sin will find you out. She used to say to her own children, be sure your sin will find you out. And it is true. And even if you're able to hide everything from everybody else, the Lord sees. The Lord is in the heart. So he sees, and more than sees, he knows what is your motivation. So therefore Krishna has said that it is better to do your duty imperfectly than to do another's duty perfectly. So try to understand what is your duty and what is your the necessity for you in this world, and if you try to follow that, even imperfectly. So Guru Maharaj has taken that a step further in his commentary, and he says that when we try to devote ourselves to the Lord, even if we do that with all kinds of faults in that, is better than doing anything else. So, because actually anything else is against the nature of the soul, the true nature of the soul. So the real nature of the soul, which is service to the Lord, then we should practice that however imperfectly it may be for us. Because, you know, as they say, practice makes perfect. So we shouldn't think that we cannot serve the Lord until we become perfect. Then we'll never serve the Lord. But rather, by attempting to serve the Lord in our imperfect state, he will take our responsibility, and he will bring us to the state of perfection by his grace. By an honest endeavor to connect with the Lord will make every, you can say, every facility from his side, he'll afford that to us. Giving every opportunity for us to come closer to him. So when we serve the Lord, the result of that, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, he says, let me be your servant, Lord. And my only desire is that if you want to give me some pay for that service, that my pay will be prema, love for you. And that means necessarily that we will get two things: more capacity to do more service to the Lord, and at the same time, a desire to do more service to the Lord. So it's an ever-increasing thing. But we have to start somewhere. So let us start with something, some small thing, to give something. Guru Maharaj would say, practice the hand to give. So give some of your energy towards the service of the Lord. That's the beginning. And that will be, you know, like a deposit in your account. And every time you make a deposit in your account, Krishna adds some interest to that. And when that interest becomes, accumulates to a certain degree, then you'll be repaid with that interest. But that won't be like in a material way. That will be in a spiritual way. So your aptitude for service will increase. Your capacity for service will increase, and your desire for service will increase. And on, that will necessarily increase more and more and more until our desire for serving Krishna outweighs our desire for enjoying in this material world. Then we will be very safely situated.
It's like Krishna Seva without
self. Yeah, Krishna Seva. Actually, the main thing is to try to connect with Krishna. So that's why it is said that if you have no desire, or if you desire everything in this world, don't go to anyone else but Krishna to fulfill that. even if you desire everything that's imaginable in this world, go to Krishna to fulfill that desire. And he may fulfill or he may not fulfill. But because you connected with him, the result must always be super auspicious, super fortunate. So Krishna has that capacity, and it is said in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that if Krishna favors someone, he can bestow them everything that they desire. But if he really loves somebody, he'll take away everything that they desire and leave them totally bereft. And it says there, totally bereft, that their family, their loved ones, everyone will reject that miserable fellow, so that in the end, that only way forward for him is to surrender to the Lord. That will be his only shelter, only thing left for him. So this is... sometimes happens to the devotees. And this verse, Srila Prabhupada A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he came to our Guru Maharaj after reading this verse, and he said, here it says that if Krishna favors someone, he can give them everything they desire. But if he loves somebody, he will take away everything. And he said, and I think this is what's happening to me. And Guru Maharaj, he said, yes, it cannot but be that. So we see, you know, the famous tea or me. You know, Prabhupada was writing his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what people forget, actually. What people don't realize. You know, everyone knows the story, right, that his wife, she sold his Bhagavatam to buy some tea and biscuits. So, but it wasn't just his copy of the Bhagavatam, it was his manuscript for his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So can you imagine, like, this is his life's work, and she's swapped it out for some PG tips and some digestives. that incident was like a catalyst to him. He realized, there's no future for me in family life anymore, you know. And his three sons, Vrindavan, Mathura and Prayag, his three sons, they weren't interested in Krishna consciousness. Or his wife, not interested in Krishna consciousness. They had some faith, some devotion, but they weren't interested in Krishna consciousness like he was interested in Krishna consciousness. So, you know, obviously she didn't realize the value of that if she was going to swap that out for some tea and biscuits. Then after that, he realized this is not the life for me, you know. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, he knew that, you know, because he lived with Prabhupada, he knew Prabhupada's sons. In fact, Mathura was the same age as Srila Govinda Maharaj. And they were like friends, you know. So, but they weren't interested in really in Krishna consciousness. They had some materialistic idea about life. And finally, his sister, Bhavantari Didi, she said to him, this is not your life, Baba, you're a sannyasi, you should take sannyas. And he said, well, what about my wife and children? And she said, I can look after them. She was a very wealthy lady. And, you know, because she married into money, and she was very wealthy. And she actually, she paid for the very first publishing of Prapanna Jivanamrita of Srila Guru Maharaj on the request of Prabhupada in Bengali. That was, she funded the whole of that. She was a disciple of Madhav Maharaj, Guru Maharaj's godbrother. Anyhow, the main thing is somehow or another, connect whatever you do with Krishna. So then that means that although we have desire and, you know, our proclivity is to sensual enjoyment, that should be tempered with jukta vairagya. That means jukta vairagya means appropriate renunciation. What is appropriate to you? You know, what, like, not to And Krishna advises against this. He says, you know, then not to try to artificially restrain from connecting with the objects of the senses, but try to do it in a controlled and tempered way. Now, this is Jukta Vairagya. Jukta Vairagya means what is appropriate for your degree of advancement in spiritual life. So if you're honest, an honest person, you will examine yourself, you will understand what that is. Not to to artificially renounce. For what use, Krishna says, what is the use of repression? So the result of repression is usually two things, sadism and madness. Yeah, of course, arguably, sadism is a type of madness. But this is what comes from artificial repression. You become sadistic towards others and become crazy also. So Krishna, then Arjun says to Krishna, so what is it, Krishna, that impels a person to commit sinful activity, even against his nature? You know, even against his better judgment? And Krishna says to Arjun that it is, Guru Maharaj in Guru Maharaj's Gita says desire, but Prabhupada says lust. That actually means the same thing. Desire means for anything which is not Krishna. That is called karma, not karma, but karma. So karma means to lust after or desire something which is non-Krishna, you can say. So we're all subject to that. That is lust. And what happens when lust or desire is thwarted, is blocked, then anger comes. So and we've all have this experience, or at least I can say for my own self, this experience when you desire something very much and something comes to prevent you from getting that, then you become angry. When that your plan has been thwarted, then you become angry. So then Krishna says to Arjuna, these two things, they are the greatest enemy of the spiritual aspirant. So understanding that you are not the doer, by properly understanding, in Chaitanya Charitamrita it has been given by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means knowledge of the self, knowledge of God, knowledge of the world, knowledge of Maya, and their interrelationship with one another. That is called Sambandha Gyan, transcendental knowledge which is necessary for us. If you are using that knowledge, you can defeat the enemy of lust using the sword of knowledge, Krishna says. But it is difficult. It is not an easy thing. And Krishna goes on to discuss this further in the next chapter. But we should remember that the greatest gift that the Lord has given to the jiva soul is free will. Because with free will, we are able to progress towards Krishna by our free will. Because without free will, there is no question of love. Love is an act of free will. Love is freely given. Because Krishna could compel us to serve him. He could easily make everybody serve him. But that wouldn't be love. That would be slavery, wouldn't it? And that would mean that would make us as automatons. You know, like robots. So free will is what gives us, what makes us, you could say, human, if you like. What makes us who we are is that we have free will. But free will can be... Free will means that you can do wrong with that free will. Otherwise, it's not free will, is it? Free will doesn't compel us only to act in the right way. Free will can also compel us to act in the wrong way. So, but and according to our own discrimination, we decide for ourselves which is what is good and what is bad. But in this world, good and bad is a very relative thing. Good for me may be bad for you. And bad for me may be good for you. As a relative thing. But ultimately, good and bad in the ultimate sense means whether we surrender to the Lord or whether we revolt against the Lord. So by the misuse of our free will, we are forced into the bondage of this material world. By misuse of our free will, we become under the illusion, actually, that we are free. Because when we misuse our free will, now we are in the clutches of Maya. Now we become the slaves of Maya. And whatever suggestion she makes to us, happily we run after that. And therefore we are perpetually deluded, thinking, you know, like, what better prison is there where the inmates think that they're free? Then no need for any bars or a jailer or anything. When the inmates think that they have full liberty, then that's the best type of prison. So this is called, actually, the word Durga means prison. So this world is a Durga, and she is the master of the prison warden, if you like, the Maya Devi. And we have come under her by misusing our free will. We have become her slaves. But by the proper use of our free will, we can decide to reject the offer that Maya is making to us and turn our face towards the Supreme Lord and try to, by our own volition and by our own proper use of our free will, try to engage in loving service to the Lord. And without free will, it can never be loving service. It can only be loving service if it is offered freely. Love must always be free. And love, it is stated that when love runs freely, it'll run automatically to its goal. So now our loving propensity is being misguided here and there, in the wrong place. We are so much, as living beings, we are so much endowed with the propensity to love and to be loved. It is like oxygen to us. It is a necessity to us. But now we're looking in all the wrong places for that. And that love, by connection with the material world, is being transformed into lust. So in a crude way, that means that love in this world is basically generally you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. And as long as we're satisfied with that mutual scratching, then we consider that to be love. But it is not really love, because today it's I love you, I love you, I love you, and tomorrow it's I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Then that can't be real. It is only an illusion of love, or a temporary manifestation of love. And even if you're very fortunate that you find your, you know, soulmate, or whatever it is that everybody's searching for in this world, if there is such a thing, even if you're that fortunate, still, death will separate you. It is inevitable. So you'll never find, like, the perfect relationship in this world. The only perfect relationship is between the soul and the Lord. And that's the reason why we have this propensity for love. And the nearest thing to pure love in this material world is the mother's love for the child. Because the mother's love for the child is selfless. She will make any kind of sacrifice for the cause of her children. Without thinking, instinctively, if she apprehends that her child is, you know, walking in front of the bus, to save the child, she'll throw herself in front of the bus without a second thought. It happens. This is the nearest thing to pure love in this material world. But even that has its limit, isn't it? You know, even the serial killer, his mother still loves him, right? But only up to a point. When she hears all the terrible things that she's done, then even then she may, oh, I cannot maintain that connection any longer. So sometimes it also has its limit. But anyhow, but our nature, every single one of us, is our nature is that we are endowed with this propensity to want to give love and want to receive love. And that is because that's what we're made for. We're made for that. But the repository of our love should be the Supreme Lord. And He should be our beloved, and we in return will be His beloved. And that is the proper symbiotic, you can say, symbiotic relationship between the soul and the super soul. A relationship of love, an exchange of love. And not temporary love, but eternal love. And that's ever increasing. But it has to be freely given. It cannot be compelled. You know, you cannot compel somebody to love you. You know, like they, you know, somebody goes to the, in the fairy tale, they go to see the witch and she gives the love potion, right? Give that in the drink, and when he, the first person he sees or she sees, she'll fall madly in love with him. But, of course, that's a fairy tale. But even if that's possible, that isn't love and it cannot last. That means infatuation. And most relationships are based on infatuation. Because how can you love somebody if you don't know them, actually? And how can you know somebody if you don't even know your own self? So that means that your relationship at very best is a superficial relationship, based on superficial things. And so real love must be based on the soul. The spirit, and that is a, like a soul to soul connection, not body to body connection, or mind to mind, or intelligence to intelligence, or anything like that. Soul to soul, and soul, because the soul can know itself, and the soul can also know the Lord. Then that relationship is perfectly natural. But now our spiritual nature is covered by the material conditioning. Guru Maharaj says acquired conditioning and acquired prejudices, and we've acquired in this material world from time immemorial. They have brought us to where we are today. So all of these things that we think we are, all of these opinions that we think we hold, all of these things that, you know, people say, oh, I can't change, I'll never change, it's my nature to be like that. But this is all acquired nature. It is not real nature. And it can change. Everything can change. But it is not easy. It's not just that you can think it and it happens. Because that nature that we've acquired, since being in this world from time immemorial, it has covered our soul and made us, we have identified with that so strongly. But what Srila Guru Maharaj says, that our solace is the fact that Krishna is a thief. And a thief needs no invitation. In the middle of the night, he will come and take possession of what it is that he desires. And that is you, your soul. So he says, so it doesn't matter how big the wall is that you've built around your soul to keep Krishna out. He'll find a way in. And when he comes in and takes possession, nothing else can remain there. Nothing else can stand in the light of Krishna. Just like when the sun is fully risen, the darkness cannot remain. It must go. So similarly, when Krishna arrives in your heart, all dark things will disappear. And all of those things that Guru Maharaj says that we thought were so indelibly part of us, you'll find that they were all just mental mushrooms. So the mushroom, it grows, you know, usually in some dark, moldy place, but the nature of the mushroom is that it doesn't have any roots, it just sits on the surface. If where you see mushrooms growing, you take a bucket of water, throw it, it'll just wash it away. So, saying all of these things that we think have indelibly become part of who we are, when Krishna arrives in the heart of the living being, you'll understand, you'll see that they are all just mental mushrooms and they can all just be washed away. They have no root in you as in reality. They are foreign to you. So, then when Krishna will come. And Guru Maharaj says, Veni Vini Vici. This was Caesar said, you know, he was the leader of the Roman Empire. And he said, Veni Vidi Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Then Krishna, we should allow Krishna to come in our heart. He will come, he will see, he will conquer. He will take everything. So as much as we are able to invite him in, that much he will take possession of our soul. But even if we build very big walls to keep him out, he is a thief and he must enter. One, today or tomorrow he will enter and he will take possession. This is the nature, actually, I'm very sorry to tell you all, that once you've come in connection with Krishna, it's all over, I'm afraid. You can't escape, because today or tomorrow he will take what belongs to him. Our Guru Maharaj, he said once, when we were staying in maybe 1980s, in the early 1980s, we were staying with Guru Maharaj, and every day, just before his lunch prasadam, he used to listen to the news, the BBC World Service, on the radio, and he would listen to that to get the world news. Then this one afternoon he was speaking and he said, I heard on the news today, President Brezhnev of Russia, he made a statement. And in that statement he said, the two greatest enemies of Russian culture, you remember, at that time Russia was a communist country. Then he said, the two greatest enemies of Russian culture is American pop music and Hare Krishna. And Guru Maharaj was laughing and he said, oh, he said Hare Krishna. He said, so although he's saying it is the greatest enemy, also it is all over for him now because he said Hare Krishna. Then it is too late. Once you have said, then it is too late. Once the cat is out of the bag, you can't get him back in again. So, this is actually a very wonderful thing, that who will come in connection with Krishna, and Krishna must come to claim them. And how Krishna comes to claim them? As Sri Chaitanya Dev. Guru Maharaj's language, the loving search for the lost servant. So he comes to this world as Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev to reclaim the lost servants. We are those lost servants. He has come for that. So, Krishna has given the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in Bhagavad Gita, very clearly explained there. But Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev, and he is the ideal preacher of Bhagavad Gita, he has come to give that, not just the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, but the end result of Krishna consciousness, which is Krishna Prema. He has come to distribute that to everybody. Krishna is told in the 18th chapter, you surrender to me, you will come to me. But Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev, he doesn't even require that. He just says, would you like Krishna Prema? You can have it. Take it. And by the touch of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev's desire, that is effected. And then surrender comes. So not the other way round. The Krishna's path is more or less the other way around, you can say. Surrender to me, you will receive, you will get Krishna consciousness. And of course that is there also. But Mahaprabhu, he's so generous. Take Krishna Prema, and then you will get the right impetus to surrender to me. So that is a very wonderful thing. The Lord's loving search for the lost servant. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev, he is Krishna himself, but come as his own devotee. And he has taught us how, through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, we will get everything that Krishna has promised in Bhagavad Gita. Sharanam Braja, he says. Sharanam Braja means surrender to me, you will come to me in Braja. Braja means Vrindavan. You will come to me in Vrindavan. And how we will get this? Simply by chanting, dancing, and honoring the Lord's prasadam. That which the yogis try so hard to get a glimpse of the lotus feet of the Lord through, you know, years and years of assiduous practice. Maybe they might get some touch of that, and then it will vanish. But that same thing that they can accomplish very easily, you can accomplish just by the chanting of Krishna's holy name. It is not exaggeration. That is offense to think that it is an exaggeration. It is greater than anything, greater than any Vedic sacrifice, greater than any type of tyaga or any type of parashchitta or anything, is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And in this Kali Yuga especially, no other religious principle is needed apart from the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. For those who will chant the name of the Lord with faith, and I've read Sanatana Goswami, he said that even those who chant the name of Krishna, even as a joke, or, you know, insulting way or something, you know, like, hey, Hare Krishna, you know, like that, going down the street, and even as a joke, said when they leave their body at the time of their death, the Lord's parshadas will come to that person to raise them up to a higher place. So what to speak of those who try to chant Krishna's name with faith? What will their destination be? It is so auspicious and wonderful thing. We may think it is very difficult, and it is a very difficult and rare thing. Pure devotion, very rare and very difficult. But Krishna is very merciful. And especially as Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev, he is the most merciful. Mahavadanaya, the most munificent of all avatars of the Lord, is the Mahaprabhu Chaitanya avatar. He has come to give what no other avatar of the Lord or has ever given before. Anarpita chirim chirat kuruna yavatina kama. He has come to give that thing, that Krishna prema, in Guru Maharaj's words, distributing nectar like water. So everyone can take that, and everyone can realize the wonderful teaching of Srimad Bhagavad Gita that Krishna has come to impart to the world. By the mercy of Gaur Nityananda, we can understand what is real devotion. What is real devotion? So Srila Prabhupada A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, his commentary of Bhagavad Gita is famous all over the world. Bhagavad Gita as it is. That means without any different kind of interpretation. What Krishna says is not necessary any interpretation. Because Krishna says what he means and he means what he says. It doesn't need to be any allegory or this meaning this thing or that thing or what so many different interpreters have said. Before Prabhupada came and gave Bhagavad Gita as it is, there are so many translations of Bhagavad Gita in English. Many, many. By this professor or that professor, or you know, so many. But not one of them ever made anybody into a devotee of Krishna. This is a fact. I can say, with my hand on my heart, I can say, not one of those translations ever made anybody a devotee of Krishna by reading that translation. But when Prabhupada came and he gave his Bhagavad Gita as it is, it made a revolution in the world. So many hundreds and thousands of young men and women wanted to give their lives to Krishna after reading this book. This is the potency of the Vaishnava. Krishna's pure devotee. He can give Krishna. And this is Krishna's own proclamation. By surrendering, he says to Arjuna, you find my devotee and surrender to him, and he can give you the knowledge of the soul, because he is tattvadarshi. He has seen the truth, he's acquainted with the truth, connected with the truth. But only one who is really connected with the truth can give the truth. Otherwise it's only academic or theoretical. So, it is an important teaching of Bhagavad Gita that we have to approach Krishna's devotee, because through Krishna's devotee, Krishna likes to give himself to the world. So it is all important to find the devotee of Krishna and surrender to the devotee of Krishna. It is primary and fundamental to spiritual life to surrender to the Sadguru. It is indispensable. And someone may say, oh, if God is in my heart, then why do I need any guru as an intermediary? But someone, you know, like blocking my relationship with God. But it is not that. Guru Maharaj said it is like the telescope. And when you look through the telescope, the lens in the telescope allows you to see something very far away, very close up. So it's a Guru Parampara is the telescopic system. And the more guardians we have, that is like more lenses. The lenses are not opaque, but they are transparent. And the more lenses you have in the telescope, you can get a better view and a better focus on reality. So this is so we should count ourselves to be more blessed if the more guardians that we have in our devotional life. The more that we are able to see the Vaishnavas as our gurus, the more fortunate we are. And Guru Maharaj said, if you cannot find anybody in this world that you can put your faith in, then it is a very unfortunate situation. That you cannot find any, you cannot trust anyone anywhere, that is a very terrible thing. So, you know, there's the greatest misfortune of the soul if they cannot find, when they are looking, if they cannot find the Sadguru. If you are ready, Krishna will make that happen for you. But don't be in a rush just to, you know, take the first bus that comes along. Make sure you're getting on the right bus, and make sure your guide is the right guide. This is also important. Quality, not just quantity, or that is not the way to measure, you know. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur himself has said that. You cannot, just because someone has many followers and many temples and so on, it doesn't mean that they're a great devotee, necessarily. That is not the criteria. The criteria is, who is able to give Krishna? Who is able to teach real Krishna consciousness? And who can show their, by their own life the an exemplary an exemplary life of devotion, and we should follow that, and we should be careful. The scripture tells, if you find a guru, that you should examine him for at least for 2 years before considering. It is a normal situation, and guru should be able to examine you also. To see it is right person or not, heart will tell. So we know this. This is also given in the scripture that the absolute truth can be ascertained by three things: by sadhu, guru, shastra. If these three are in consonance with one another, what it says in the scripture, what the sadhus, the saints, have say, and what the guru says. If they all three agree, then that is considered to be the absolute truth. But Guru Maharaj, Srila Maharaj, he said, fourth element must also be there, approval of the heart. The heart must say yes. So the heart, the voice of the heart, we can say, you know, well, how do we connect with that? How do we know it's not the mind? But the voice of the heart is what brought us to Krishna in the first place, right? That voice, it will not mislead you. Something or other allowed us to recognize here is the truth and come to understand that Krishna consciousness as being the most valuable thing. So that voice, connect with that voice, it will not mislead you. And when you connect with that voice, that is the, you can say, the antarjami, the guru in the heart. But because we are unable to clearly connect with him, the Antojami, then that is Chaita Guru, then it is necessary to connect with Mahanta Guru. That means the Guru in the world, who manifests in the world. You will understand that they are one and the same. But sincerity is necessary. Sincerity of heart and sincerity of purpose. And Krishna will provide everything necessary. Anyhow, we can end here today. I'll give out our today's study guide to everyone with a summary and some helpful acronym for remembering the contents of the this third chapter, and also some questions and answers. Not questions and answers, but questions. They are for you, actually, these questions. If you read the questions, by researching the answer in the chapter, you will get the deeper understanding, I think, of that chapter, and some shlokas. Main 30 main shlokas of Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada considered to be most important, I've selected these from there. Then in this chapter, I think he made four, but I have only given three here because maybe four is too much for everybody. But if you can't learn all of them, learn one of them. And maybe there's three here, but maybe the most important of them is Kama Esha Krodha Esha, this verse. Rajaguna Samudbhuva Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyenam Iha Varinam. This is good, very good verse. Okay, so unless someone wants to ask any question about the subject of this chapter, we can stop today.
You said that people can change the characteristic of the, but what about the what is God is, word for that?
Genetics.
Yeah, that's going to be changed, isn't it? What is born with?
But that is only physical. That's only your genetics only relates to your body. But that is your vehicle. This is like if you buy a car from Ford, you can change the badge on it, but it's still a Ford, right? That you can say that's the genetics of that car is it's a Ford. So you can make it look like something else, but underneath the bonnet, it's still a Ford. But that's just the vehicle. The person driving the vehicle has got nothing to do with that. Could be you, could be me, could be Mr. Bess, whoever's driving the vehicle. So the genetics, our genetic makeup, is only our physical outward body, you can say. That we've acquired from our mother and father, our genetic makeup. But it's only for now. When we learned that. Dehena smin jata dehe, komaram yovanam jara tatta dehantaras praptir, dhiras tachanamoyate. In this body, we go from childhood to youth to old age, and finally, then we pass into another body at the time of death. The wise are not deluded by this change. So, when you go into your next body, that won't have anything to do with the genetics that make up this body. It's finished. So, this is not an important thing. But what is important is the man driving the car. That's the important thing. So you are the driver of this vehicle, and your genetic makeup may be Indian, maybe American, maybe black, maybe white, maybe man, maybe woman, whatever it is, doesn't matter. The Atma in essence is the same in everybody, and that is the person that we're interested in, and that is the person that Krishna is speaking to in Bhagavad Gita, the Atma inside. So you have to uncover all the layers, the genetic layers, if you like. Underneath, inside, you'll find in the cockpit, that's you in the driving seat there. Try to see that person. Try to understand who that person is. And this is the whole teaching of Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna's trying to unravel all of that and show this is who you are. And this is what your duty is. You know, when you're driving the car, you have a particular duty, right? When you come to the traffic lights, you have to stop when the light's red, you have to do this, you have to do that. So similarly, in this body, we have so many duties that we have to perform, so many things. But outside of that, it's not important. So similarly, when the soul is in its liberated state, it has another duty. It's like when you're outside of the car, you don't have to think about putting the indicator on it. You know, that's gone. So we're not advocating that you commit suicide or anything like that. But to understand that your real duty as a soul is different to the duty relating to this body and mind and so on. How to differentiate one from the other, Bhagavad Gita is explaining that. Like, a bit by bit in each chapter, progressively we'll get a deeper understanding of that. So, that's, who wants a study guide?
One thing we know that the character, when we born with the character, it continues the same when we die, isn't it?
The what continues?
Your character.
Your character, yes.
Yeah. Whatever you're born with, when you die with the same character, don't you?
Well, yes and no, because in this life you can change your character, isn't it? So you can say, in a way, they call it tabula rasa, right? A blank slate. You're born a blank slate. Not exactly, but more or less, you can say. But your nature from your previous life, that's going to come out. The conditioning and ideas that you had in your last life, they'll come out in this life. But according to whatever you're exposed to in this life, they can be modified, they can change. So, you know, you can see, even in this life, as a young man, you may have thought in a particular way. But as an older man, now you may think, oh, that was really foolish the way I was thinking as a young man. So, you know, your behavior, your thinking, thought process, your ideals, they all change even in this life. So there is a continuity, it's true. But the main thing is that we try to cultivate a deeper understanding. That's why Krishna says, whatever state of consciousness you're in at the time of your passing, that you will attain in your next life, without fail. So the idea is that in this life we will try to cultivate a spiritual character. Okay. Then,
yeah.
Yes. Soul is eternally youthful.
So your body is
Yes. Anyone else? Yeah. Okay.
That is just for the poor soul.
Huh?
The left for the poor soul.
Yeah. And give to Mr. Banerjee. All right. Okay, thanks everyone for coming again. And next week we'll meet. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Jadavaya Namaha. Jadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Madhusudan, Gopal Govindaram, 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 Gopal Govind